Welcome back to On the Record. I'm Sheila Cast. Here's a Stoop story from Ben Doyle about the Easter Bunny, Santa, and other childhood musings.
So my parents have told two lies to me in my life. The first being that Santa Claus is real, and the second being that they would never lie to me. This second lie, that your parents will never lie to you, always works. Children aren't smart enough to see the contradiction in that, and neither was I, until my dad started to add the clause, "Unless that's a lie, you don't know, you can't trust me or your mother." And he did so almost accusatorily, as if I was an idiot for believing things that he said, as if I was stupid for listening to him. Which, by the way, really seems like the parental equivalent of, like, crushing up cyanide tablets in your toddler's baby food and then whispering, "You deserve this," as you spoon-feed it. Stay with me. So, as you may or may not be able to tell, I grew up very paranoid, and as a result of this, I had a list of things that I believed weren't true but had no proof of. And the first item we crossed off the list was the Easter of when I was six, or actually Easter Eve. And I was lying in my bed. It was an Easter Eve much like any other Easter Eve. And I was in that sort of Christmas Eve-esque stupor where you have the obligation to stay awake for the next morning for some reason that I still don't understand. And, you know, I got up to go bother my parents because, as a child, it was my duty to make sure that if I couldn't sleep, neither could they. And I got up, and I went, and I entered my parents' room, and I was met with the classic childhood-killing scene, not sex, by the way. I was met with the scene of my parents filling my Easter basket with toys and candy. And most kids at this point would cry or hit something or someone, but I really never believed in the Easter Bunny. And I think that's just because society does such a poor job of perpetuating any sort of, like, scientifically accurate depiction of the Easter Bunny. You know, even at the ripe old age of six, I knew something was fishy about an Easter Bunny laying eggs. So the next item was crossed off about a year later. It was when my brother lost his first tooth. He was falling asleep, and I was downstairs, and my mother came downstairs, and she said to me, "Ben, I'm really tired, I gotta go to sleep. But before you go to bed, can you please put a coin under your brother's pillow?" And something about having a little brother and sister made my mom forget that I still believed in the tooth fairy. So I felt so bad that I was crossing this item off my list so early and so easily, so I tried to help my mom out. And I said, "But Mom, wouldn't the Tooth Fairy be upset about that?" And she said, "No, because the Tooth Fairy doesn't exist." And then she realized that I still believed in the Tooth Fairy, and she tried to recover, as most mothers would, but it didn't work. And there's still items that I haven't officially crossed off my list. You know, the helicopters that circled my house in Los Angeles, I don't think they're Christmas helicopters, which, for those of you who don't know, Christmas helicopters are helicopters that bring kids toys on Christmas. What I think they were are police helicopters looking for the cocaine addict next door, which is true. But I have no proof that they were police helicopters. And likewise, I have no proof that Santa Claus didn't exist. That's because there was no reason for me to look for it. I had no idea that Santa Claus couldn't be real. I took the story of Santa Claus like gospel. You know, I didn't even take real gospel as gospel. In the wise words of my little brother, "I don't believe in God because he doesn't bring me things, but Santa does." So to a revelation about this when I was watching an episode, the Christmas episode of John and Kate Plus 8 with my mother. And for those of you who don't know, John and Kate Plus 8 was a reality TV show about a woman who pushed twins and then sextuplets out of her birth canal and not doubled her debts for the next 18 years. And this show was great. And, you know, it was the holiday season. It's a holiday episode. It was our weekly episode, John People Say, from, you know, me and my mom, and we watched it. And the episode started with Kate hanging up 8 little stockings for her 8 little children. You know, so far, so good. And she went upstairs with the children. So far, still nothing disturbing. And then something weird happened, and Kate walked back downstairs. And I was thinking this whole time, what is this ignorant woman doing? Her crazy antics are going to scare away Santa Claus. And despite my complaints, she kept walking, and she pulled out a bag, and it had a bunch of toys and candy in it. And she started filling the stockings, and I remember very vividly her picking a toy out and thrusting it at the camera and going, "Isn't this cute?" And then I turned to my mother, and I answered this rhetorical, and the answer was no. Because it wasn't. I saw in space my list, and I saw all the silly things that I'd crossed off. The Easter Bunny, the Tooth Fairy, God. And at the very bottom of the list, Santa Claus appeared, and it was already crossed off. And I was just, I felt the 5 o'clock shadow forming on my face. I was devastated. Santa was dead. Magic was dead. I had to now view the universe in a completely analytical view from now on in my life. And so I spent the rest of the episode trying to analyze it as scientifically as possible. And at the end of the episode, they were taking their family photo. And I noticed then that Kate was the only white person in their family because John wasn't white and their children were mixed race because that's how that works. But I didn't know how that works. So I turned to my mom and I said, "Mom, how come Kate's the only white person in her family? Why don't her children look like her? How does that information make the transfer?" And my poor mother, who had just watched the last embers of the childlike fire in her son's eyes be stamped out violently, now had to fill his head with the disgusting but surprisingly robust food for thought for the next 80 years of his life. And she explained sex to me, and I cried. Pinpoint the moment where they transition from childhood to adulthood, because most people's parents have enough control over the flow of horrors and wonders of adulthood into their fragile little child's body. But my parents didn't, so I can. And it was right then, right after the episode, when I stopped crying, I sucked it up, and I thought, man, I just gotta turn in early. So, I'd like to apologize at this point in my story to my little brother and sister, who at the beginning of this story believed in Santa Claus. Welcome to adulthood, kiddos.
That was a Stoop story from Ben Doyle about the loss of childhood innocence and where to go from there. You can hear his story and others at stoopstorytelling.com. I'm Sheila Cass. Thanks for listening to WIPR. We at On the Record wish you a meaningful Good Friday and an Easter full of joy.
Thanks for listening to this segment of On the Record with Sheila Cast. You can catch the show on the radio Monday through Friday, 9:30 to 10 a.m. on 88.1 WYPR, your NPR news station. And you can support On the Record and all the other public radio programs that WYPR brings to you. Just click the donate link at the top of WYPR.org. And thanks.